David Gately's got the early word on the weekend punt. This is Gator's Game Plan.
And it's Quinny's Game Plan this week once again as we take a close look at Moonee Valley. Hello to you, Nicholas.
Hello, Gareth. Hello, all.
What did you think of the Australia Day meeting there yesterday?
I thought it was wonderful.
Yep. Any black bookers?
Very much enjoyed it. Oh, there was a few black bookers, that is for sure. But from a punting perspective, it went pretty well. And I think the two-year-old pitch is probably a little bit more clouded as opposed to more clear after yesterday. We saw some runners hit the line nicely, but some of the more fancied market leaders certainly were a little bit underwhelming. And yesterday I spoke about the fact that I thought we had a potential blue diamond sit sprint type in Philosopher. I'm certainly reassessing that evaluation after
you
yesterday.
You did your DOS there. Yes. $8, I think. You got for the blue diamond.
Yeah, I won't check what the cash out is now, but I'd be happy to get half my stake back right about now, I think.
I'm just having a look at the market here for the blue diamond, which will be conducted, of course, on the 26th of February. So we've got Jackano at $5. You would have stayed there a few times. It's a beautiful resort there at Red Hill.
Okay, I didn't even know what it was, and I haven't been to Red Hill, so I'm looking forward to ticking that off the bucket list. But,
and then we've got the Godolphin Colt that won there yesterday. Now, Dormier, like when I looked up the pronunciation of this gallop, it was Dormier. Anyway, okay. Who cares? As long as it wins, if you're back at $8. Ebhar the Snowden Galloper at $10. Now, Miss Rosiano's a $10 chance, Quinny. You tipped her on top. How come you didn't back her for the blue dog?
The $51 was yesterday. That's a really good question. The other really good question is, what a genius I was taking $7 fixed yesterday morning.
It was unbelievable, a bit of a setback, wasn't it? Like, you thought, what's she played up in the yard, but she looked okay in the yard.
She looked terrific. I don't know.
I can't explain that, but what I can explain with those first starters, usually there's really good money for them straight away when the markets come open, if they've trialled nicely. But as you get closer to race time, the bigger syndicates and the bigger punters seem to go for the horses with the race experience.
Well, that was certainly the case, wasn't it? With Letizia really well supported and started favourite from Jury at 4 and 4.20 respectively.
What'd you make of Jury?
No, I think Jury worked home well in a race where it was a little bit hard to make up ground, and we saw most of the runners up on speed, including the winner sticking on well. So I would certainly not be throwing Jury out with the bathwater there from a blue diamond perspective. I think she'll take improvement, stepping up to 1,100 next start and then 1,200 on grand final day.
I'm loving you as the horse that I would follow out of the fillies race as well. I thought she was better than Jury. She's at $17 for Michael Kent Jr. and Mick Price.
Yeah, I mean, look, until they get up in ground, I don't want to judge a lot of them on what they've done so far, because we did see the leader, and I thought it was a really impressive win as well. Well done to the Galagotis team, who've got a nice two-year-old, Miss Rosiano. We don't see them have a lot of two-year-olds, but when they do and they've got ability like that, we've got to take notice.
Entertainers, aren't they, the Galagotis brothers?
They're fantastic.
They can deliver a show. Now, it's terrific racing on Saturday. In Sydney, we've got the Expressway Stakes, where we see Animo as the $1.75 favourite. We haven't seen him since finishing second in that Cox Plate, but some of the bigger guns in the sport will commence their summer/autumn campaigns on Saturday. And then at Moonee Valley, the feature race there is the Australia Stakes. So looking forward to that. So some terrific racing this weekend once again, Quinny.
Going to be absolutely superb, and hopefully two runners can resume on Saturday that we can see go right through this preparation.
0416 90 50 52. If you've got a question for Nick Quinn about this weekend's racing, we'll start with your best bet over the weekend, Nick.
I've got two.
Your two best bets.
Two best bets.
Okay. Now, he is coming off the long run. The confidence that Nicholas has. Gate only plays the one best bet, but Quinny's seeing that well these days. He's got two for us.
The reason I've given two is I don't like giving best bets at an odds on quote. So when I did the form last night, the first of them was $2.10, but it's firmly an odds on quote since. So I'm going to go for a second one as well, so I can at least hang my hat on that should they both be successful. But I think Moonee Valley, race 3, number 2, Stay Gold, will be winning. She's won 3 of her past 4. Jamie Carr takes the ride. She'll get a lovely trip in transit and be too good again. happy to back her to around the $2.40 quote. And the other one is one of the feature races, race 7, number 10, Morabi. She's 5 from 5. Once again, she looks really well placed. She should make it 6 from 6. She's trimmed up after opening $2.10. She can lead. If they want to go too hard in front, she can sit just off the speed. I think she will be winning again. I'll be taking both win bets and taking the double as well, Gareth.
So what's the double now?
The double now, Gareth. That's a very good question.
So $1.85, Morabi. And race number 2. We have...
$4.44.
That'll do it.
Pre-multiplier.
Yep.
So that's the plan of attack.
All right, then. What was the hardest race for you to work out this weekend? Your long division race, Nicholas.
It was the first. The first race on the program over the 1,500 metres. And the reason I found this one so tricky was that some of them, we're not quite sure how good they are. I think that's a fair comment without being disrespectful. There's been some horses that have been going around okay in a similar grade and then going okay in lesser grade. The 1,500 metre trip is a little bit tricky because of the 8 runners, just one of them has had a start over that trip. So what I found, it's a lot of horses that have been around the mark in similar grade, so hopefully might find this a little bit easier, or going relatively well in easier grade, but they've got to step up a little bit. So I found this one race where they could probably run it 6 times and get 6 different winners, and there's only 8 runners in the field. So the first on the program, to quote Dino, it might be a good opportunity to go and get lunch.
Okay, what time will that be? Around 12:40.
Yeah, a little bit earlier than I normally have lunch, but we'll see how we go.
All right, then. So race 1's the most difficult race there at Moonee Valley for the day, so we'll get that out of the way nice and early. What about the D-Day horse?
Now, this is a weird one.
Why?
My D-Day horse is probably the best horse running around on Saturday and potentially the best horse we're going to see this autumn.
Okay.
We go to Rose Hill, race 7, number 6, Animo. Now, I don't want you to say I'm being harsh and whatnot. The reason I'm going to sit Animo down is I'm not going to give him a spray. I'm going to put the arm around the shoulder and I'm going to say, you've been really good, but you could be special. You could be the king of racing this spring. I don't want to hear any more bad luck stories where the track bias was against you in the Golden Rose or you could have won the Cox Plate on protest. I want to see Animo really step up this autumn and be a horse that we all talk about because he is a colt. We don't know how much longer we'll get to enjoy him for. So hopefully this spring, autumn, he can go bang, 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 put a picket fence together and be a horse that not just us racing tragics talk about, that when we're at family barbecues and we run into people that have a casual interest in racing, they want to talk about Animo.
So is he in the same boat as a Christian Petrarca last year or a Clayton Oliver that were handy enough plays, but they elevated themselves to being the best players in the competition? Or is Animo probably just a little bit better than those players?
I think the Christian Petrarca one's a good one.
Yep.
The really muscly colt who's done well, but then exploded. So if Animo could have a Christian Petrarca season, I think we'll all be very, very happy.
Right now, they're top 5 horses in the country.
In terms of what they're doing now or the upside? Because Animo and I'm Thunderstruck are two that I get really excited about because they've done well with a lot more upside. Zaki's obviously a star. I want to see him come back and do it again. But he's a little bit older than them, so we won't have him for as long.
So basically, rate your top 5 horses right now in the country that you think will be the best 5 horses at the end of the autumn.
Okay.
So very elegant.
That was my question. Are we saying right now or what we think they'll be at the end of the autumn? Because very elegant has to be in the conversation.
Well, she's the best mare in the world these days, so she has to be in there.
She's an absolute star, that is for sure.
Nature Strip has to be in there.
Yes, and then I'd probably have Incentivize as well. There's your top 5.
So there's 3, and then you've got...
I'm Thunderstruck and Animo.
Okay.
So the 3 that are top of the castle right now...
What about Espenona?
Well, yeah, hopefully. But she hasn't done it yet.
I know, but she'd be in front of Thunderstruck for mine.
Golden Eagle winner already.
I know, but I'm just saying that at the end of the autumn...
Okay.
Yeah.
Good conversation to have. What if I'm Thunderstruck wins the All-Star Mile?
Well, he would definitely go up there, wouldn't he?
So, someone's ringing you right now to just argue with you.
It is someone from Perth in Western Australia.
Good to see they're listening to the show. They're either wanting to join the program.
Should we answer it? Who are they?
That's a bit dangerous. No. Could go one of 2 ways.
All right, then. So, the D-Day horse, which is an interesting one, Animo.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on making Animo the D-Day horse?
No, I don't mind it. It's a little bit left field. But I think Gator can take a leaf out of your book with the way that you're thinking at the selection table this morning. So you've got Adamo, he's a $1.70 favourite. Do you expect him to win the Expressway? Because you've got Standout at $7.50, Wisdom of Water at $16, Forbidden Love. I think Forbidden Love will race here in, she will race in Sydney, not Melbourne.
Yep.
And then you've got Tiger of Malay at $9.50, Overpass at $12.
Now, it's stating the obvious that the trip on Saturday over the 1,200 isn't going to be Animo's pet distance this preparation. We saw him last time out in the Cox Plate over the 2040, but he has got a good record over the 1,200, 4 starts for 2 wins and 2 further placings. So hopefully you can get the job done. He did resume from a spell with a win over the 1,200 last preparation when saluting in the run to the Rose. He was backable, though, on that occasion. He was $4 into $3.50 on race day. He should be too good, but I just really want him to emerge this time in. I think we probably just have a little opportunity for a few stars to really come through in the next 12 months, both this autumn and this spring, and I'm hoping Animo will be one. And again, as I said, he's a colt, so we've sort of got to enjoy him while he's here.
Jeez, the Snowdens have got a really good bunch of two-year-olds this season. Ebhar goes around in the Whitten Stakes for the fillies there on Saturday, the filly by I'm Invincible. That was so impressive at Caulfield, and she's in the market for the Blue Diamond. So she's at $3. OJ, that's lightly raised for Godolphin, James Cummings and James McDonald's at $6. And then we go to Drysana at $6.50. Mumbai Jewel at $11 and Queen of the Bull, that's only had the one start and was second there on debut at Randwick behind OJ and was just beaten in a photo finish on that occasion, is at $8.50 as well.
And it's exciting at this time of year watching these two-year-olds come through. And obviously in Sydney, the Golden Slipper is a big factor. And down here in Melbourne, the Blue Diamond is a big factor. And with some of the superstars, like a Sepoy, it can be both. But races 2 and 3 on Saturday, lots of intrigue. And I'm looking forward to seeing a horse step out for the first time in race 2 in Sydney. Great Barrier Reef has looked good at the trials, beautifully bred. James McDonald to steer for Chris Waller. Not suggesting this is a bet. This is just one I'm intrigued to see how it plays out.
So it's an expensive colt purchased by Coolmore. And they name their horses after cities, countries, great landmarks like the Great Barrier Reef. So it's a son of I'm Invincible out of that wonderful mare, Cosmic Endeavour.
Yeah, the Northern Meteor.
Correct. So he's at $2, and then you have Robusto at $7.50. Sambezi River, who I didn't mind there the other day, that was a bit of a whisper for, but was scratched last Saturday at $4.80. But I think the big news there is McDonald was down to ride Sam. Oh no, Hughie Bowman was actually. Timmy Clark rides at 54.5. So the two-year-old races are intriguing as well up there in Sydney, Quinny.
And like we said before, the two-year-old races yesterday, we just learned so much about them once they step out on race day. You can watch the trials and you look at the breeding and then have an opinion, but then it can change very quickly on the back of a performance or two.
I always find it difficult. Like, I know that there's some punters that just punt on two-year-old races.
Yeah.
I always find it difficult because of the unknown, and you don't know what's under the bonnet there. Because most of the horses, some trainers let them travel off the bit at the trials, but most of them like to have them still on the bridle. So you don't know if there is anything left when they are released.
And we speak to the trainers every day, and you do some great interviews, and even they are really in suspense about how their first starters or second starters will perform on race day. Because
Peter Gallagher is the perfect example yesterday.
And there's so many reasons why that is, but most of the trials and jump outs are either over 800 metres or 1,000 metres, and then most of the big races are 1,000 metres to 1,200 metres, so there's just another variable. We don't know what they're going to do until they do it on racetrack.
Do you know when the trots, when we do the pre-race interviews, we have the roving camera behind the gates or the mobile. I'd love for racing to do that in some way. I know it's a little bit difficult because the thoroughbreds are a little harder to get close to. But they have actually done it before. I remember Bernie Cooper used to do it when Sky Thoroughbred Central were doing the coverage. They don't do it as much as they do now. I think sometimes ITV in England do it.
What would you want to hear from the jockey?
100%, especially with the two-year-olds. Even if you just go, oh, James, how did he feel? Now, they're probably not going to tell you, but that's when they can feel if they're shin sore or not. A lot of the two-year-olds, you don't actually know until you jump on their back and you gallop them up to the barriers.
We do have the mounting yard for that, though.
Where no, a lot of people can they look. Can't tell on the mounting yard.
Yeah, I just can't see the jockeys being receptive to being on a flighty two-year-old pre-race and you're trying to put a microphone under the mouth.
11:35, well, the V8 supercar drivers do it, don't they? When they're driving 300Ks.
This is true. Yeah. Good point.
We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. Your questions to Quinny. You can even have ask me a question about the form this week. I'm seeing them well. I'm only joking.
No, you are seeing them
I'm
well.
I'm only joking.
You tipped one. You got something for us tonight?
0416 90 50 52, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. This is Gators Game Plan. This is Gators Game Plan with Quinny on this Thursday as we take a close look at Moonee Valley and also a little bit of a look there at that meeting at Randwick highlighted by the return of Adamo and the Expressway. Enthar's ride, 0 out of 10 there yesterday. I don't know if it was a 0 out of 10. I just don't think she went any good, the filly.
Yeah, she was up to her tricks again, wasn't she? I think if you're on her, you knew a long way from home was going to be painful because she didn't settle. I think the plan of attack was try and find the lead or get her to relax and sit off the speed where we saw her win the Dufton Stakes the last time she stepped out to a racetrack, and she just didn't do either. She wouldn't lead, but she wouldn't settle as well. So what do you do? Maybe they could have tried to push on and go to the front with her, but that is what they were trying to avoid doing, just using all her speed to get her to the front and have her vulnerable late. So, unfortunately, she was just on her worst manners I've seen yesterday.
It's a difficult one with her because there's that saying where you've got to let fast horses be fast horses. But both those horses, Kennewell's mare, they just put the anchors out as soon as they got to the front. And they could have gone a lot quicker. So,
well, Nature Strip was similar.
I think Jiving Mill knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't think it was the jockey's fault. I think the horse was just very badly behaved. And Nature Strip, that was his kryptonite throughout the early part of his career, that he wouldn't settle and he was a one-trick pony and he became susceptible. And of all Chris Waller's training performances, what he's done with Nature Strip, I think, is probably the best training performance because the horse now is so consistent and you just don't have those concerns with him. And that would be something they're going to really have to try and work hard to do with her. But she's a mare, so she'll have life as a mum. Whether they persist, if she's going to be as badly behaved as yesterday, for years to come, only time will tell. I hope they do. I'm sure they will. But if they can get her to settle, she's terrific. But as we saw yesterday, she's got a lot of tricks.
Race 1, number 6, Sir Risky, goes to the front at the Valley on Saturday and wins. Delightful price at $6.50. That's from Jake from Geelong. Good on you, Jake. I love the confidence there, Jake.
And that was the race I was struggling with, Jake, so thank you for that.
So you'd be tipping it on top now, won't you? Won't you, Jake? Adamo will not want to run into Profondo above 1,600 metres. We forgot to put Profondo in the top
No,
five.
I didn't forget. I just didn't
fact,
know who to
I
bump.
I might put him in, actually.
Who are you bumping?
Who did we have in again?
Incentivise, very elegant, Nature Strip, Adamo, I'm Thunderstruck.
Incentivise.
You've dropped Incentivise.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll put very elegant. I'm tipping there'll be a few wet tracks come the autumn.
Oh, my goodness. Gareth.
And we might not see him till late in the autumn, early winter.
If he doesn't race, he's still one of the number one seeds, isn't he?
And he's been a little bit sore, too. That like he's had a few of the injury setbacks, so he's had a bit of time in the paddock up there in Queensland.
There is your clickbait article for the week.
Not
incentivised
really.
And not in the top five horses in the country, according
leave
to
Quinn
RSN's
on.
Very
Gator
own.
Is old news. That's from Mrs. Quinn. I love you, Gator. Don't worry. You'll be back next week. Quinny might be the assistant coach that you might allow back in on the selection panel. Boys, Colette after a wet autumn with no foot problems might be the one.
Absolutely. And we saw her win at Flemington on a track that was perceived to not be to her liking as well. So if she can do that and she has no feet issues, she's an absolute star. Couldn't agree more. Isn't it hard, though? You want to put these in the top five. Like, this is why doing the list is hard. You want them all in, but who do you leave out?
I asked James Cummings yesterday on the first word, and I said, Mum's a big fan of yours, Jimmy. And who should she vote for, Collad or Cascadian? And he said, well, can you predict the weather conditions? If it's wet, it's Collad. If it's dry, Cascadian. But he did say, don't rule out Adamo.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to see Adamo.
Going into the All-Star Mile.
He was up and about with you yesterday, James. He was really chatty.
Usually he likes to chat with me, James, on a Saturday morning from time to time. But with Adamo, I wish they nominated him because you can't vote for him. But there's a strong chance that he will get in. And usually the wild card wins.
Yeah, the wild cards do have a good record. Mugger 2 last year.
Race 8 and 9 at Moonee Valley, Quinny, look like a raffle. Any leading in those two races? And Sydney, what's your best? Thanks. That's from Jack.
Can you repeat that question again? Sorry.
So races 8 and 9 at Moonee Valley.
Yes, races 8 and 9 at Moonee Valley. Race 8, I settled with the second elect Holt. I thought this horse was really impressive, winning two on the bounce at Mowi last preparation, and has trailed nicely ahead of the resumption here. A $3.80 second elect, and I've got Holt on top there. And a bit of a spoiler alert, in the lucky last, I like one of double figure odds here. Distillate down from New South Wales from the Matt Dale stable. I think this horse has got a lot of upside, will be up on speed. And at $10, I'm happy to have something on her each way in the lucky last on the program.
Hawley, what was Quinny's two best bets? That's from Steve. There were Marabee, and what was the other one?
Race 3, number 2. Race 7, number 10. 3, 2, 7, 10.
Gareth, what's with your top 5 for everything under the sun? Boring just guesswork from whoever you are asking. That's from Lex from Essendon.
I liked it. I thought it was breaking it up.
It was just the spur of the moment.
Admittedly, if we're doing it again, we might have been able to think about it in advance and put some thought into it.
Can't wait to have a bit with you one day, Lex. G Hall, you must have one tonight, keeping it on the hush.
Yeah, what have you got tonight?
What have I got tonight? Oh, there's one at Shepparton.
What is
$10.
It? Yes?
Yeah, at the Trots tonight at Shepparton.
Can you share it with your friends and RSM family?
I was going to make sure I remember which one it is. Race 2. Course number 1, We Made Frio for Stephen Duffy and Blake McDonough. Like, it was no match for Lombo Ida Belief there the other day, but I think it doesn't have to do any work to cross, and then it'll hand up to Lombo Ida Belief this time. Over the mile at Shepparton, I think $10 is too big of a price.
So you're hoping sprint lane and either wins or at very least in the placings there at the 260.
Yep. Disgraceful ride on Enther. You just got to let the horses slide. Boys, it baffles me why there is no Vic racing on a Monday and during the afternoon today. Surely you just drop a Sunday meeting. Anyway, race 6, horse number 3 at the Valley, worked the house down fine during the week. You just need to get on.
Race 6, number 3?
Yep.
Tough choice?
Yes, that's it, sorry.
Yeah, I've got Tough Choice in for second behind Gentleman Roy.
Okay.
So I what certainly won't be talking that person out of that tip there. Tough Choice is a $7 chance. Gentleman Roy, who resumed from a spell with two good wins before biting in the dust at the short odds last start, 2.40 to bounce back.
How do you think the track will play on Saturday?
I think it's never a disadvantage to be up on speed at the Valley. I think it played pretty well last Saturday, and we'll see something similar again this Saturday.
In Sydney, do you think it'll be fair there at Randwick?
Rose Hill, I should say. The last few meetings at Rose Hill, they've absolutely been able to make up ground.
Yep.
So, if anything, I think it's a tick for those that can get off the speed when they do go hard up on front. A lot of it's going to be tempo related. It's currently a good 4 at the moment. So if it doesn't get too firm, and I don't think it will, there's no reason why they can't run on, which is good because a lot of the fancied runners, especially later on in the day, are run-on types. Animo certainly falls into that bracket in race 7, the Expressway. The money's come for Yee Yee in race number 8, who's one that will get back. And King's Air, the stablemate, will also be back in the field. So punters are happy to back a few at this stage that will be back in the field and hopefully running on to victory.
All right, Quinny, from a punting perspective, if I gave you $100, what are we doing there on Saturday? Because it was a good question for one of our listeners there on the Melbourne form panel yesterday, is that you can tip 7 out of 8 winners, but you still need to punt well.
Okay.
To make money.
I want to be a little conservative. That's how I roll from time to time on the punt. I will have $50 the win, Morabi, race 7, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have $25 Stay Gold, race 3, number 2. And then I'll do a $25 treble, Morabi, race 7, number 10. Stay Gold, race 3, number 2. And Animo, race 7, number 6, up in Sydney.
Now, Lex does make a good point, and I'll give him a little bit of credit here. I did put you under the bus regarding your top 5. So on the Friday forum,
next week?
On Friday week. So you've got just over a week. Your top 5 horses.
Okay.
And we might have a little bit of fun, Lex. So
and are we doing now? Now or at the end of autumn or at the end of 2022?
No, so what we'll do, I might have a chat to my friends at the Great Tip-Off who do a wonderful job with their data analysing the tipsters around the country. But they've also got technology that can allow you to have like a tipping competition. So I might put together something for our RSN Central family, and everybody can be involved, and we'll see who can do the best regarding predicting the future for the autumn.
What I like about this is it's one of those ideas where I like the idea, but now you've started to talk about it without thinking about how it's going to work. And
no, it'll work easily.
Some stress and work for plenty of people.
Not necessarily, because it can be easily done. I had a talk to management just at the end of the Spring Carnival last year, so we can.
It's a great idea, and anything that gets people engaging and 100%. Something to follow is a terrific
idea.
And
we can have a little bit of fun, and then I can say that I'm a better tipster than you, or
you
Mikey,
always say that.
Mikey can say you're a better tipster than both of us.
Well, you tipped an $11 shot yesterday.
Or Lex can say, "Well, boys, I should be doing this because he, like our listeners, could defeat us as well." So we'll have a little bit of fun, a little bit of banter.
Great idea. Looking forward to it.
I'll organise that in the next week or so.
I'll look forward to it.
Thanks for your time, as always, Quinny.
Good fun, as always, Gareth.
Are you back on the Melbourne Forum panel on Saturday?
I'm just looking outside of the producer, and I've got the thumbs up, so yes, I am.
Good on you, Quinny.
Gator must be back soon. Where is he holidaying, you reckon?
I don't know. I think he did a triathlon, didn't he?
He's too fit.
Yep.
He's too fit to be following racing.
11:47, that was Nicholas Quinn on RSN Central there with his game plan. We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. Jason Thompson will be joining us after he took out the Traralgon Cup there last night with Typhoon Semi and the Dogs.